I looked back and I saw your beaming face and I didn't turn it on yet. If you've been here at all these past several weeks, this Christmas season that we've been going through, you know that as a staff, we've been doing a series on Christmas originals. And we started off with the original Christmas missionaries. You know, the shepherds who the angel visited them and they went and they saw the baby and they went around decorating people's lives with the joy and the glory of God and Christ with us. And then we moved on to the original Christmas couple, Joseph and Mary, and how they had a test of their faith. And through that, they were able to triumph. And they were obedient to God and the angels in what they were instructed to do. And then we moved on to the original Christmas ornament. You know, that star in the night that shone of God's glory? And it guided the Magi as they went and they visited the Christ child. Then we moved on to the original Christmas tree. You know, the cross? You cannot have the cradle without the cross and the crown. The three of them are intrinsically linked together. And then a couple days ago, Pastor Frank and an ensemble of different people brought to us the original Christmas emotion, fear. It seems strange, doesn't it? But the fear of everybody, every time an angel would appear, there was fear and the fear that we experience. But to know that we don't have to be gripped by fear, that we can have peace. What I have for you before we continue is a video. Are you here?
Shall rise out of Israel.
God. son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Now this morning, as we celebrate Christmas, I would like us to center our thoughts on the idea that we should live out the Christmas story every single day of our lives. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it to the fullest. God wants us to have a full life. And I believe that the Christmas story, living out the Christmas story, each and every day, is a great way to begin, is a great place to start in living out this life. You see, the Christmas story is all about obedience. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am still a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy Child to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. And if we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the other side of this story as it takes place. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Obedience in the Bible is a very specific idea, and it is greatly emphasized, especially in the New Testament. See, Jesus is the ultimate example of obedience. Philippians 2:8 tells us, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter designates believers in Christ as children of obedience. So how does that relate to the Christmas story? Well, we find in Luke chapter 1, when Mary is told of her impending pregnancy, that she was totally obedient to God. Verse 38 shows us her obedience when she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. We see in Matthew 1 that Joseph, who faced a difficult decision, he had to choose whether to divorce this woman who was pledged to or accept what has happened and listen to the Lord. See, Joseph was completely obedient to God. And he followed God's instructions in everything. May we, each and every one of us, live out the Christmas story by being obedient to God as well. Because you see, the Christmas story is all about giving glory to God. Continuing in this Christmas story, this Christmas narrative that we have in the Bible, in Luke chapter 2, the angel appears to the shepherd and gives him this great news, this proclamation, and then the angel leaves. And verse 15 picks up and says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And then if we jump over to Matthew in chapter 2, the Magi have seen this star and they've been following it, and they go and they visit Herod, and they tell Herod about the star, wanting to find this new king. And Herod says to them, hey, when you find him, come back and tell me about it so that I can go and worship him. And picking up at verse 9, it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. See, we find many instances in the Christmas story where God is given glory. Luke 2 shows us that when the shepherds go to visit the child, they go away from the manger scene glorifying God for what they had seen and heard. In fact, they didn't just do it silently and just go away. They went and woke people up on the way and told them all about this stuff. See, they gave God glory. And then the wise men in Matthew 2, they come along and they visit Jesus as well. And they bring him gifts that will glorify him as well. They bow down and they worship Jesus. And they give God glory. But what does it mean to give glory? To give glory to God means that you enhance his reputation by honoring what he has done. To give God glory means that you place him in the ultimate position of power, and then you humble yourselves and you bow down before him. To give God the glory means that we highly value him. May we, each and every one of us, live out the Christmas story in our lives by giving glory to him as well. Because you see, the Christmas story is all about Jesus. See, unlike any other babe in human history, the one that was born on that night, that Christmas night in Bethlehem, he was unique. He was not created by a human father and mother, but was truly the Son of God. He had a heavenly preexistence, as John chapter 1 tells us. He is God the Son. Philippians tells us that he is one with the creator of the universe, and he chose to become a part of his creation. This is why Christmas is sometimes called the incarnation, a word which means in the flesh. At Christmas time, God came in the flesh. That is why Jesus says, if you have seen him, then you have seen the Father. In the birth of Jesus, the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing Creator came to earth in the flesh. But why would he come as a baby? Why would God have such a plan? Well, first of all, he came as a baby. Because if he had come as a king or as a ruler, then only kings and rulers would have been able to go to him. But coming as a baby, anybody is welcome to approach him. You see, God planned from the beginning of human sin to bring Jesus into the world. See, the whole Bible is all about Jesus. Jesus came so that we might have the opportunity to have reconciliation with God. Jesus was all about forgiveness and healing and reconciliation. May we, each and every one of us, live out the Christmas story by living our lives like Jesus did. See, living out the Christmas story means so much more than I've even been able to begin to touch on this morning. Yet living a life of obedience is a start to living it out. Giving glory to God is a start. Trying to pattern our lives after Jesus is definitely a start to living out the Christmas story. In a couple moments, we're going to take communion. And here at Richmond Community Church, we have an open communion table. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come and join. And a lot of times we pass it out, but this year I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to leave the elements up here. And when you're ready, you can come up and take it, take the communion. And then in a little bit after that, we'll do a candle lighting ceremony. We'll have candle lighting, and we'll work on that when we get to it. But you see, communion, we remember communion a lot during Easter time, the crucifixion of Christ, because that's when it took place. But without the birth of Christ, without the babe in the manger, there is no Easter. And so as you prepare to take the elements, there is a video, and it is, communion is about us opening ourselves to God and having communion with him, having union with God and reconciliation. So Aaron, go ahead and run the video. And then when you're ready, you can come up and take communion. Ooh.
Thank you.